Hi, I'm Bella Gandhi, founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host of this beautiful podcast. We're here to bring more love into your life, regardless of if you're single, if you're married, if you're thinking about becoming single, if you're thinking about becoming married or finding the lid to your pot. And we're going to bring more life into that love that you have or you want. You might have seen me on Good Morning America or Steve Harvey or the Today Show or 100 other places, but I'm so happy that you are here with us because we're going to make your life and your love better. Smart daters, welcome back to the podcast. And for those of you that are new, a giant hug, a giant dose of psychotic optimism, and thank you for coming to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. And boy, do I have an episode for you. Today is a love story, and I have one of my favorite clients, one of my favorite love stories, and she's here to talk about her love story that we're going to call It's Remarkable, because ladies and gentlemen, it's frigging remarkable. Sherry, welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I feel like we're just good old friends hanging out.
Yes, thank you so much. And I've listened to so many of these episodes myself over the years. So excited to hopefully instill a little hope for somebody else.
I love that. And so many of you listeners listen to this podcast. And I tell all of the clients that come to work with us, you know what? Let's put a little love and a little note out to the universe that says someday you are going to come back on this podcast. You're going to come on this podcast, dear new future clients, to tell your love story. And Sherry, you've got a great one. So let's dive right in. Just, you know, tell us a little bit about who you are, your background. I know you, but, you know, tell the listeners who you are.
Yeah, sure. I am 64 years old, but Dave and I have this thing that we say that we believe we could live to 120. There is proven documentation for this now.
Amen.
Fit, healthy, of sound mind, and therefore I am just middle-aged. So I don't think of myself as being 64. I'm more in the 45 range is just how I like to view it life with.
I love this reframe. Oh my gosh. Right? Did you hear that? 64 is midlife because we're living a healthy lifestyle. We're going to live till 120. So I love that you're midlife.
Yeah. Yeah. So with all this knowledge and experience and just being midlife, I'm like, it feels really good. So I've been divorced for about 11 years. I was in a long-term marriage, 24 years, I guess 26 years together. It was very hard because I was the first of my friend group to get divorced. That was very hard. So it was a hard reckoning. And then career-wise, I was architectural designer, initially, and then I stayed home to raise my kids for 15 years. And then I knew the writing was on the wall with my marriage was not going to go the distance. So I need to get back to work. And so I went into high-end cabinetry design. And that was a great career. I won a couple of national cabinetry awards. I was in top tier in sales. So it was a good career there. And then I'm also just a very active person, you know, hiking, pickleball, you know, theater, art, you know, just everything.
You're everything. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the very first time I met you, what year was it?
It was 2019, because that's what I looked back at. I've worked with you twice, as you know. I do believe investing in yourself, very much so. You had said a thing in a podcast I'd heard early on, that 90% of your happiness is tied up in who you partner with. And that really stuck with me. So I think I worked with Lindsay in 2019, and then I worked with Eileen in 2021.
That's right. I remember, I think when you and I were talking about doing the show, I remember exactly where I was when you called me and we decided, let's do this. Let's do round two. Round one was really a lot of fun. It was pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. You were kind of like, drop it like it's hot, ready to go. Did an amazing photo shoot. And and started your dating process. And I think you
Yes.
learned the process well, and you learned about building your dating funnel.
Very much so. I definitely believe in the funnel. I think you get, I try to tell this to all of my friends that are in the dating world, is keep that funnel going. People just want to hone in and just do one person at a time. And oh my God, no. I mean, I was on 3 or 4 dates a week, and I was a little excessive with all that, but the funnel is so great, so you don't hyper focus on just one person. But I did meet Dave in chapter one, in this in the beginning when I was working with Lindsay.
That's right. So you met Dave. So was it during COVID?
It was before. So this is 2019.
Okay, so in 19 you connected with Dave. So let's talk about that. And just for those of you,
In
quick
2018, actually. Yeah.
2018.
Yeah, that sounds better.
That sounds
Yeah.
more,
Yeah.
that sounds correct
Yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And I forgot what I was going to ask you, but 2018, you came in just ready to go, pull the band-aid off, of course, trepidation. And yes, now it came back to me. What I was
Yeah.
going to say is so many people that listen to this, and even our existing clients that are working with us, it's kind of like, okay, if I'm here for 6 months or a year, and most people work with us for a year, like love should happen within that year. And I tell people, you're going to learn a process. We're going to teach you a system that will work long term if you adhere to it. And during your tenure with us, we're going to walk up Love Mountain. So we don't know how long it's going to take, but you will find the right person if you keep working the system. So for any of you that are dubious or working through this, listen to what Sherry's saying. 2018, we are now in 2025.
Yeah, for sure. So, and then we reconnected because I did a little soft launch on Instagram, and we had been hiking, and I'd taken some photos, our shadows, and I did two side by side, and one was just two people, the shadows on a hiking trail, and the other one we were like leaned in, and the way our heads came together and with the necks and everything made it look a little heart. And I'm like, I'm gonna do just a little soft launch. And you were on it. And I just said, together, like again, dot, 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 again. And then you're just like, hey, sweetie.
Hey girl, I know myself a soft launch, and that was a soft launch. Together again, we need to talk, right?
Yeah,
And this
is
is
this
what
what I think it
happened.
is? And you said, just please check about the anxious avoidant trap. So one thing that Lindsay had pointed out when I was dating, and I probably was related to Dave, is she said, read the book Attached. And I highly recommend, like all of your listeners, read Attached, read Five Love Languages. Like I just think that's like required reading. It'll help you just not only with relationships, but with friendships and everything as well. But when I went back to look at the book Attached, there's all of this stuff in there, of what's wrong, what's not going to work, what's wrong, what's not going to work. And then there's one little paragraph when I reread that chapter that said, if this anxious person does their work, and if an avoidant person does their work and they do come back together, the results can be truly remarkable.
Remarkable.
Remarkable. And so now we have an Etsy sign that's, painted that's on my living room mantle. It says, it's remarkable with an exclamation point. And, but to me, it was like, what's this freaking work that we're supposed to be doing to get there? And have I done the right work and all of that?
And so you let me let's put this into a timeline for the listeners. So this is 2018, 19. You are working with us. We're definitely teaching everybody about attachment systems, and reading the book Attached is super useful again because what we do is education and then implementation, right? So it's like have a rubric, understand what attachment styles are, and then
Exactly.
we're going to help to coach you through Is this bringing up your anxiety? Is this person avoidant? So now let's come back to you meeting Dave and tell us about chapter one.
Yeah, chapter one was really great. When I met him, so I met him on Match. People always, I remember I wanted to know, like, tell me which dating site you're talking about. And I really do like Match. For my age group, I know the Gen Zers will be rolling their eyes, and I understand because that's more old school, but it was helpful because it gives you information to work with, where I always found working on Hinge and Bumble, which I did also, was just harder to extract because they're just very abbreviated formats. But yeah, so when I met Dave, I mean, just, you know, we had the good email exchange. He moved it to a phone call. We talked on the phone. He was going to be going on a little ski trip, so we set up a date for right after he got back. And then during that time, he sent me a couple photos and we exchanged a couple of texts, and that was just perfect. I've made the mistake before of having too much time between the phone call and the date, and that too much texting takes place. And so it gets to be kind of ridiculous, kind of good morning, good night, and everything in between in a fantasy relation, too much. And then we didn't, like, I remember one of them, I didn't even meet him after all that.
Totally. And don't over text, right? It's so... Yes. We used to talk about don't get into a sexual relationship. Now it's don't get into a textual relationship, because texting, it brings about this false sense of intimacy.
Yeah.
And we're hiding behind a screen, and people can say a lot of weird stuff that they would never, ever say to you in person. And texting, it has its time. It has its place. Yeah. In a relationship that's developing, but not right away and not like that.
Yeah. So, and then, so we had the date set up and everything and really excited about it. And then I had a very unfortunate circumstance happen. My mother-in-law was passing that day of the date. And so, of course, I'm going to be taking care of my kiddos. I called my ex-husband, "What do you need from me?" He said, "Please just take care of the kids." And my son was fine. He's already said his goodbyes. And my daughter, I was going to go be with her. She's just an hour away, half away from me up in Berkeley area. This is a Bay Area story. And I needed to call Dave. And to me, that was a really important thing, is he needed to hear my voice. Sending him a text was just not going to do it. He needed to understand what was going on. So I called and told him what was happening. And one of the things that was really important to him is that I was a mom. He only wanted to date someone who had children, so that they could understand his. And that was just important to our particular story. And so anyways, he totally understood, go do your thing. And I just wanted to know I wasn't blowing him off.
Sure.
And then
how thoughtful of you to pick up the phone and do that versus sending a text.
It had to be. We talked about it afterwards, and I'm like, "Did you think I was blowing you off?" And he goes, "Well, the phone call was definitely good, but I still was, maybe she's blowing me off, but a text definitely would have been, felt like a blow off."
For sure.
So, and then we just started dating, and I always say to my, like, my daughter's out there dating now, so now I'm giving her dating advice, which is
crazy. I love it.
It's crazy. But, with the right guy, you just never have to wonder. He will call, he will text, he will ask you out again. And so Dave was asking me out, and like our first date was so fun, and it was very different than other first dates where we went to an Italian wine bar. I got there first. I was sitting at the bar because there's no tables outside. But when he came in, he really did want to sit outside. He whispered to the hostess, "If something opens up, tap me on the shoulder." And something opened up, but it was a group table. And so the two of us joined at this group table, and I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes. But when he was in conversation with me, it was just very focused on he and I. And sometimes things would happen at the table, laughter would erupt, and we'd join in the conversation, and he could go back and forth. And I always wanted someone that could, I didn't have to be attached to at a party. I could just let him do his thing, and he
could work a room.
Yeah. So, and then obviously had an amazing first kiss, and that floated home that night. But then it just kept going like that. So, like our fourth date, he was texting me. He had three ideas of a great date, and but he thought of something even better. But I was at my daughter's, she's a dance performance, a student run thing up at school, and I'm like, but I'm with my folks and I'm up there and I can't call you till 11. He goes, call me at 11, whatever. Anytime is fine. He was so excited. And so when I called him, he's just like, so we could go to Hamilton. And this is when Hamilton was, people were mortgaging their houses to buy tickets, right? It was that whole craziness. And so I'm like, of course I'd like to go to Hamilton. He goes, well, that's the opportunity because it was going to be Easter Sunday because some people couldn't go, balcony seats. And he just was showing me how creative he was already. He'd gone on Craigslist and found this little thing. And we met the people at the farmer's market and the tickets were good. We got into the show and it was so fun. And we weren't sitting together, which was, I think that's why the tickets weren't selling. So he was on the aisle and I was a few seats in. We tried our darndest to have people scoot one way or the other in a seat. They weren't having it. And so we're like, okay. So as soon as we sat down, then he's just kind of sitting there. I started texting him, hey, cutie, and we just had this little text banter going back and forth. It was really fun. So he's just showing me that creativity, fun, and he became the gold standard in my dating from then on. And we'd do stuff on what I call school nights, because we'd just be like, it's just us two. So all of a sudden he'd be like, what should we do for dinner? Like, let's go to Santa Cruz. It's 45 minutes away. And we drive to the beach and we just do stuff like that. So, and then we traveled together, during that chapter one to Cancun and Italy and some domestic travel and all of that.
That's awesome. And how long did chapter one last?
A year and a half.
Okay, so that was a good long time. So you guys were exclusive. You were dating during that year and a half. Now, what things did you see, and then what ended up happening at the end of chapter one?
So I finally realized that he was an avoidant. And I remember when I told him, like, you're an avoidant. He goes, I know. I'm
You're
like,
like, hi, could you have told me that?
yeah, we probably should have talked about this. The relationship, although it was so much fun and I felt extremely close to him, it wasn't progressing. I wasn't getting I love you. I truly felt he loved me, but I wasn't hearing it. And I'm a words of affirmation girl. I need to hear it. And we had planned to move in together and the dates came and went and it wasn't happening. And I at that time really wanted to be married. And so obviously that we weren't anywhere near that. So with all of that, and then when I just found out that he was an avoidant, I just so naively, I'm just like, well, you're the problem, not
Right, you're
me.
the avoidant. He's like, I
Okay.
know. You're like, okay.
So I didn't know what to do about it. I just broke up with him because it wasn't going anywhere. So during the breakup time, as we discussed, I'm a woman on a mission. I dated everybody. He dated very little. He kind of more does his more introvert thing. And I read self-help books and listened to your podcast. And I did this other thing with this gal, Kara Sabin, this owner's manual class. And we dove into imago and deal breakers and strengths and weaknesses and all of that. So I felt like I was doing a lot of good work on myself. And then we get to chapter two. Chapter two, I had, so we've been broken up for a year and a half, and I'd been dating this guy, well, lots of people, but I'd been about eight dates with this one guy, very nice insurance salesman, treated me so well, but it was always the same thing, a really nice dinner and drinks, and that was it. And it
It
just
was
was
just capping. You weren't
rinse,
getting
wash,
deeper.
repeat. And so I was bored. He was so nice and I wanted to be into him so badly. And so after having a teeny bit of alcohol that night, I may have drunk texted Dave. And I knew exactly what to say. And
What
so
did you say in the text? Tell us. What
it
did
was
your
a
drunk
sexy
text say?
text. It was a sexy text. I knew all the things to say. I miss you so much and blah, 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 blah. And it was, I got a response immediately.
I can imagine.
But we were both very aware of, we didn't want to repeat the same mistakes. And so we spent a whole month and a half talking. Like we'd go like on a long hike, and I really like having conversations side by side, like
Yes.
you're not being
Yes.
interrogated, you're moving along, really like that. And then we'd like go out to dinner or something, and we just did this over and over and over until we felt like, yeah,
You'd hashed it out some
hashed it
and you
out.
had to talk about it. And you had obviously done a lot of work. And it sounds like he had also done some work.
He had. At that point, I can't remember exactly, but he had done things like he had done a couple of these men's retreats where he had they fast for 4 days in the wilderness and journal and all this, and that just spoke to him, and he really enjoyed that. And he'd had a family member that was had some addiction issues, so he's part of Al-Anon. So he's learning how to learning skills in that. And then he loves a YouTube video, so he just learns differently than I do. So he's doing all his stuff along the way, also.
Which is big, which is really, really big. And for those of you wondering, okay, well, someone I dated was avoidant. Am I going to have an It's Remarkable story? Remember, like Sherry said, it can work out, right? If and only if both people acknowledge their roles and turn that mirror inward. So often we turn the mirror outward. This is what you did this, blah, 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 blah. But here you've got to spin that mirror and you, to a 180 to say, what's my contribution to this? And what is the work that I need to do? And
Very
you are doing your work. And what Dave could have done, which he didn't, was just said, okay, you know what? I'm sure there's probably someone better out there for me, as avoidants tend to, I pedestalize people, or sometimes they just think someone better is going to exist, and I just need to keep dating until I find this person that's actually going to allow me to say I love you and fall in love. And the sad reality is that doesn't happen without that work. And we spend year over year, decade over decade, waiting for quote unquote that perfect person when ultimately we need to work on becoming the right person.
Yeah, very much so. So, yes, I'm a recovering perfectionist. My name is Sherry, and I'm a recovering perfectionist. So then this all happened, and we got back together, and this was literally a week before COVID lockdown. So we didn't get together because of COVID, which I'm very grateful for. But I'm so grateful to have him during COVID, and that was really great. But COVID was a really stressful time too. There was political stuff going on, plus just all of, like, we didn't know what was going on with this thing, and I'm dealing with my folks, so my protocols are different than his protocols, that he wasn't seeing his folks. So it created a lot of stress in there. And the same issues, shockingly, arose yet again. No, I love you. But like I said, I really felt like he did, but I need to hear it. He still wasn't moving in. As I mentioned, I'm a high-end cabinetry designer. I designed a whole room for him, with his participation. We went to the showroom, picked out the colors. I had it priced out, everything. Like, it was serious. And then it just wasn't happening. And I remember we were on a hike one day, and I just said to him, I said, you know what? If a supermodel dropped down in front of you right now and just said, Dave, I have to have you. You're everything I've ever dreamed of. You'd be like, whoa, not so fast. Because I just came, it wasn't me per se. He just wasn't ready for all of this yet. And I just said, if you don't want the same things that I want, you need to let me go. And we broke up. So it was very
So you felt it
sad and
again.
hard.
You
Yes.
felt it again.
I
Even
felt
though he
it.
was doing his work,
Yep.
he hadn't shifted enough.
No, we just hadn't progressed. And yeah, that just realization, like, this beautiful, perfect woman falling down in front of him. And yeah, it would have been the same thing. So that was really hard. This was considered final. And so this next period went on for 2.5 years. I mean, my friends couldn't say his name.
No, we all
They
wouldn't
were
say his name.
forbidden. He was erased from my social media. I went through every post on Facebook and Instagram and just he was done,
Purged.
purged. And then interesting, we both, because we were done, we went through huge amount of growth separately. And my growth, I retired early. COVID was just bananas as far as my work goes because I could divine space for people. So building apartments were closed. People needed space. All their kids were home or in-laws were stuck living with them. I mean, like all sorts of situations. So I just worked so hard. So I retired early after that. I just told my boss, great news, I'm retiring. And he wasn't as happy about it.
You were his star.
But then I started traveling. I said yes to everything. I think that year I took six international trips. I was in Southeast Asia 3 times, in Japan and Sicily, and I can't even remember what else. And then I was also, oh, I do REI hiking trips. They don't do the adventure stuff anymore, but I did like 7 trips with them over the years. And just side note for your listeners, like a lot of people are very hesitant as a single person to travel. And I love traveling what I call solo, but not alone. So join a hiking group and you've got a guide and all the people participating. And I like to have my own room at the end of the night, but I can talk with anybody all day long. And that was so much fun. And the same with these group trips. So I was with a group and different size groups, sometimes just 10 people, sometimes a little bit bigger, but get out there and go and live. And that's what I did is I just finally realized that I want to go live my life. I'm doing also learning adventures, glass blowing, feng shui, took an improv class. Like I'm just living my life. And I just realized like everybody doesn't get what they want. I mean, we don't all have all of the things. So like I'm not married, right? But I'm very superstitious, so knock on wood, or I could knock on this wood back here. But some of my friends don't have their parents, and I have my parents. And some people have had health problems, and I haven't had that yet, or lost a sibling, and I have my brother. And so like we don't get everything we want. So what if I don't get married? I'm okay. I just kind of came to this peace in myself. And I do believe that whatever is your Achilles heel, if you can make peace with it, to me, that's the work that truly needs to be done. And like makes me emotional too, just thinking about it because it was a big thing. Like the first year I got divorced, I think I cried for the whole year. It was just very sad. I moved out of the family home because I didn't want to be there anymore and started my new life. And that was just hard, very, very, very hard. So it was very good to get out there and live my life and like be okay with being alone. Part of this time too, I had a really, really horrible date. It drove me back into therapy. It was that date. And this guy, we had great chemistry, but what burns
Okay.
hot burns fast and burns out.
For sure. Starts fast, ends fast.
And so I knew he wasn't my guy. Like we'd gone out second or third date, we're at dinner, and I asked him, "So, what are you looking for?" And, dating. And he's like, "I don't know." And I'm like, "Really?" I said, "You're a 60-some-year-old guy." I said more nicely, I said, "You might want to think about that." Just very kindly and nicely, but he was like very taken aback, but so I knew he wasn't my guy. But after I'd get back from some of these trips, sometimes I'd call him and we'd get together and, he'd come with me. We'd have an Oktoberfest celebration in our little downtown here, and we'd go do that and just have some fun. And yeah, one night I called him after vacation and Italy, and I had some good wine, and I said, this good Italian wine, it's not going to drink itself. And he came over, and we both knew what it was, and we're adults, and it was a disaster. And yeah, and that's all I can say on
I was
that.
going to say, what happened?
It was definitely a booty call, but
Which is fine.
yeah, exactly. Adult grown people. But it was a disaster. And so I went back to therapy and I found a new gal. And what I really was so fascinated with is that she did EMDR for what she calls little T traumas. And I have friends that have gone through EMDR, which is a series of rapid eye movements that you do. And it's typically for big T traumas, child abuse and things of big, big nature. And so the fact that we could do this for some little T traumas, stuff that a lot of us go through when you're not feeling lovable or you're feeling like you're too much or not enough, that you could do this for those and work through those. So that was so impactful for me, and really helped me get in a better place moving forward. And then he was doing, I did dream boards and manifesting and all that stuff too.
You were doing. And look, on a side note, dear listener, what Sherry's talking about with little T and big T trauma is a big deal. And you don't have to have experienced war and your house being bombed and physical abuse, God forbid, sexual abuse. And if you have EMDR is amazing and very proven scientifically to help people with traumas. But we have episodes on this podcast with Dr. Michelle Roberts with what we call CPTSD, complex PTSD, which is relationship-based PTSD. And again, they can be paper cuts, but remember, who wants death by a thousand paper cuts, right? Nobody. And so if we put a lot of people at Smart Dating Academy into EMDR therapy for CPTSD, which is relationship-based PTSD. And it has proven miraculous for many people. So just wanted to come back to that. So if you feel like, wow, this might be me, and I've got all these little ouches all over, which just keep me mired in bad beliefs or doing the same thing over and over again. And really, part of fixing your picker is fixing that stuff. You can't really fix it, but how do you learn to cope with it and put those traumas in the right space in your brain? So, public service announcement for CPTSD and
Oh, exactly. I listened to that
EMDR.
episode. That episode was fantastic.
Thank you.
And so then, he's in. I talked to him about his growth process during that time too. And like I said, he loves YouTube videos where I love a self-help book. And he found this gal, Thais Gibson, and she's amazing. She's a PhD, she's a researcher, but she's also a clinician. And her work focuses around attachment style. And he found out that he was not only avoidant, what she calls a dismissive avoidant. He heard the word hyper independent, which he's like, oh my God, that's me. And then he also learned about interdependence. And so he's really curious about that. And then he had a bad dating experience. He met someone at a conference and she lived out of state. And you would think for an avoidant, that would be so ideal.
That would be clutch.
Clutch. And it wasn't, because he realized during that time that he really wanted to have an emotional connection. And there wasn't. It was fun, but it wasn't emotional connection. And so during that time, he realized he wanted a deep spiritual committed relationship with a woman, and that, okay, so I better start writing down what do I want, because someone like me is going to say, hey, what are you looking for? And not like this other guy that says, I don't know.
I don't know.
He's going to have an answer. And spoiler alert, the list literally was me when he read it. And I remember that was amazing hearing that list. But he would never have thought to contact me though, because when we left off, I wanted to be married. And he definitely did not. And so my stuff had changed along the way. And so the universe intervened, and now we're coming up on chapter three. So you can call it God, I call it the universe, whatever, listeners, however they relate to that. There's a one gal, Tammy, and I had not seen her for longer than this 2.5 years we're broken up. And she was a
An
friend
acquaintance of yours or a friend.
between Dave and I. She's a friend of Dave's initially, and then I had done cabinetry work for her. We'd seen her socially. Literally the only person I could think of that could be this connector person. And during this month and a half, I saw her four different places, just all over, like hiking trail here at this time of day, in a downtown area another time of day, hiking trail again, totally different circumstances, and then at pickleball. And this pickleball place was new, and there was like a half wall there, and I can see her, and I'm like, no, universe, no, because I'm feeling this message come through, like the universe is saying, contact Dave, contact Dave. And I'm like hiding. I'm literally ducking, bobbing and weaving. I'm hiding my face. I'm like,
Trying to avoid Tammy.
I don't want to, not that I don't like her, she's fabulous, but
But
I'm just
trying
like
to avoid the imminent.
the imminent universe calling. And so, but she's up there, Sherry, hi, Sherry, Sherry. I'm like, hey. And then when I went to talk to her, I'm like, I have to ask you finally, how's Dave? And she goes, no idea. Haven't talked to him. Want to play pickleball? And so she was not invested in this outcome at all, which I just thought was so funny. So I went back and I got my, what who I consider my wisest girlfriend on the phone. And she also has life coach background and all that stuff too. And but she's lived a life, and I just said, is this nuts? And she goes, a little, but are you willing to take the risk? And because I could think of a thousand ways it could end badly and he could say no, but I could also, try not to let myself get too far ahead, but what could it be? Well, I never thought it could be this, that's for sure. But I took the chance, and I'm a big risk taker in that I believe personally that we regret more the things that we don't do than the things that we do. I never want to have regret around
Yeah.
this. So I thought, nothing ventured, nothing gained. So that I texted him, not sexual text this time, but I did let him know that things had changed for me, and I was wondering if things had changed for him too. And he texted me back very quickly, which was not his MO, I should say. When we had been in chapter one and two, he would take big gaps in responding.
Responding.
Yeah, so once again, he responded very quickly and said yes, things had changed for him and he'd love to talk. And like I said, with the right guy, he's like, let's move this from a text conversation to a phone call. But he was going to be traveling to his post-COVID responses. He bought a home out of state in Reno. And so he was on his way there, but he wanted to have his full concentration on me. So he wanted to wait till he got there and then get on the phone and not talk while he's driving. So we talked, and it was funny because I told him, I mean, we'd had a this best catch up. I mean, just hearing his voice on the phone, I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how much I miss that voice. And because we had all this history, he could give me the rundown on his family and what happened to who. And it was so great because we knew all the players and everything.
Yeah.
So, but I told him, I said, well, this is funny. I said, I'm going on a REI hiking trip, leaving out of Yosemite, and we're going out of the Nevada side, Tioga Pass. We're meeting up in Reno. where he was going to be. And he goes, "Oh my God, that's so funny. But I'm going on a little vacation for myself." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. We'll
Of
meet
course
up.
you are.
We'll meet up in our hometown when we get back." And no, he did. The weather changed, and then he had to cancel his plans because it was an outdoor adventure, mountain biking, riding kind of thing. And
Wow.
rain had come in, and it wasn't going to happen. And so he's like, "I'd love to take you out." And I'm like, "Okay." And so the area has just a beautiful little river walk along the Truckee River, and we had dinner down there, and it was just awesome. It was just a really, really magical night. And then I went off on my hiking trip, and then I got a phone call during the hiking trip because he'd gotten sick, and he was so worried because we had had a kiss. And so he's worried that he'd gotten me sick, and I'm like, "No, I'm fine, I'm fine." So, but he asked me out for when I got back from the trip because we'd be coming into Reno at the end of the day, and I was already had booked the hotel for overnight so that I could drive back the next day. And so we met up again, and that's when we're just like, yeah. And we talked about all the things. Like, I didn't want to be married anymore. I wasn't even sure if I wanted to live with him. That was still, I didn't know about. I'm like, do I need all of his shit here in my place? Do I, or wherever we're gonna reside? So, but yeah, we were both looking for the same thing, a committed relationship. So, yeah. And see what else. I did tell him, though, even though I didn't want to get married, I did want a commitment ceremony. And that was a big thing for me to put out there because I thought after all my friends and family had been through all this nonsense with me, I want them to be there to celebrate.
I love that. And what made you feel like he was ready and he had done his work?
That's a really good point. So he, as I mentioned, he found the YouTube videos that really impacted him. And when he had the realization that he understood, okay, so a big thing about Tice's work is that whatever can be conditioned into you can be unconditioned. So, like, yes, this is conditioned into in childhood, being avoidant or anxious for me, avoidant for him, but it can be unconditioned as well. And that we're getting into the work of attachments and figuring that out. That really gave me, because we were talking and watching videos together and then discussing them, and we both agreed that we would do work together. You can do only so much work in isolation.
For sure.
So, like, I know, I think a lot of people's tendency is like, I'm going to just stay single and do all this work. And then when I get into a relationship, it'll all be perfect. But it's not going to be perfect. And you're going to step on landmines and you are going to trigger each other. And so we already learned how to have difficult conversations during the COVID, the chapter two. And so we learned how to have those. And like I said, I like to get out and walk and talk and be moving. And I don't want to be sitting across the table from you or having that. So we knew how to have hard conversations. We were having them in this chapter three reunion, very hard conversations. Because we also had to face the fact that we had a big uphill climb to go reintroducing each other. I mean, I have friends that just said, "Honey, no, like call me in a year and we'll see how you're doing." My brother, my kids were both just like, "Happy for you, but call us when you're sure." And other people would be like, "Come on, let's go out to dinner. We'd love to go out to dinner with you guys." My parents were super supportive, like that. So, yeah, I guess because it was the hard conversations we were having that sounded so different. me taking marriage off the table was huge. And then we still knew, and we're still to this day working out, do we want to live together or not? We're still, but it's like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And there's no rules anymore about what you have to do. So, yeah, we're feeling really good about that.
And you feel loved and you feel secure in this relationship this time around.
Very much so. I mean, I hear "I love you" all the time. Like when he hangs up at night, he goes, "Remember, I
Oh.
love you. Remember, I love you." Like if we're not together, we're on the phone at night with each other. And I remember the first phone call that we had. I didn't even have a nickname. We didn't have any honeys or sweethearts or anything like that. And he called me immediately. He called me Carmen, because I was traveling so much. He's like, "You couldn't keep up with where I was."
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego?
So I got the nickname Carmen that I just loved. And like that already was just like light years ahead of where we had been. But we were very convinced that it truly was remarkable. And like I said, he wasn't going to contact me. So I had to have been the one that contacted him to make this move forward. And ironically, I just talked to Tammy the other day. We're going to get together and play pickleball. And I was telling her the story, and she was just like, "Oh my gosh." She had no idea. She just had no idea. And I hadn't seen her for, like, we've been back together almost 2 years now, and I still haven't seen her during that time either. So kind of funny.
Well, it sounds like he really did a lot of work this time and he doesn't want to lose you, and you are doing your work together to make this work.
Very much so. Like when we travel now, we travel a lot. Like this year, yeah, we were in Spain, Italy, Japan. We just got back about a month ago from Japan, and we're doing 3 week trips now together. So 24/7 we're together. We're doing this. We're planning the whole trip together. So it's so fun doing all that. But like after that much time, sleeping in hotel beds and eating food and everything, and the schedule, you're going to get a little grumpy. And yeah, so we'll have a row. There'll be something that'll happen. But now we're really good at figuring it out. We're able to take, like, this thing happened. I'm a very visual person, so I picture it like a big ball of yucky stuff stuck together. We're able to kind of parcel it apart now and just say, like, this part is just travel logistics. This is, we can do better with our process. And this part, one of us stepped on a landmine that we didn't know was there. And it just can be, I mean, there's just so much stuff that I've learned. Tone, obviously, how you say stuff, but even though if you sound, you think your tone is fine, the other person, it just still might sound like too familiar to something from their past. And if someone is melting down in front of you, it's so hard, but we're much better at recognizing now. Take a deep breath. You have just stepped on a landmine. If the person in front of you is dissolving and everything, that something else is going on. And so then we can sit with that for a minute and then break it down, figure it out. And yeah, if we have to go back into therapy. Also, he's gone into traditional therapy. He had always had not been a fan of that. He'd had some bad experiences, is why he hadn't been a fan. And now he found a great gal, and the traditional therapy is helping him with his childhood stuff, which therefore helps our relationship. And so I really am a believer in that. And then, yeah, I had something happen the other day, and I just like, I need to call my gal and get back on the phone with her about that. And that's how we do it now.
Wow. And you feel safe, secured, and loved. And if you
Very much so.
pulled out all your old smart dating materials, it sounds like he's one of your happy people. He's an elevator person for you.
He's absolutely an elevator person. Absolutely. But I think that's very, very important to have. He will always build me up. He misses texts sometimes, but I know if like I call him, he will always pick up, always, unless he's on a client phone call. But yeah, he's right there. He's right there to support me, and you can do this. You've got this. He's been very good with his love languages are similar to mine, but not exactly the same. Physical touch and quality time, and physical touch and words of affirmation, and quality time following. So, yeah, it's just very good pairing. It's been very good learning to give me better, good words of affirmation, even though that's not one of his love languages. It's not something that he needs. He knows I need it.
And
So.
that's great because especially when you have done this much work and he knows you can be anxious and you know he can be avoidant, it's like, oh, okay, Mr. Avoidant, here's what's happening, or that's triggering my anxiety. And the fact that you understand these things and you can have conversations about it and each be better for yourselves and better for each other, that's the name of the game. So it takes two to have a remarkable story.
Yes, and I use what you and Andy use a lot too, is the story I'm telling myself is, and so like these are the crazy thoughts that are going on in my head right now, and I know it's not true, but it's so hard, and so I can start a conversation like that, and then he understands where I'm coming from, and yeah, very
And for those
supportive.
of you who haven't heard that episode, I don't know what it is, but I did an episode about how to have these conversations. And we think what we feel when someone does something is reality, right? But at the end of the day, we see it through our filter and through this amalgamation of experiences for us. And like Sherry said earlier, you might hear your mom's voice, right, all of the sudden and be dragged back 50 years ago. So instead of getting caught in that feeling, stop and ask yourself, could this be something else going on? Is this, do I think this is this person's intention? So when things like this happen, what I'll say to Andy, and it has changed the game, and he says it to me too, is, hey, the story I'm telling myself right now that you're buried in your office is that you are annoyed with me because I did blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you said that. I am so focused on getting this new course done. It has nothing to do with you. And that's it, versus feeling negative feelings towards me and coming at me and for me. Here, it makes me feel like he has put the mirror up to himself and saying, hey, the story I'm telling myself is this. Is this story true? It gives me the benefit of the doubt. So I'm so glad that you are using that. And listeners, you can use that with any person in your life, with any relationship you have, including your kids. I do it with Jaden, I do it with Max. Hey, the story I'm telling myself is when you don't text me, I feel like I'm not important to you.
Exactly. Oh, yes, kids, they don't text
Kids.
back.
Oh my God, teenagers.
But
Good.
it's so true. And I've learned that it's not just about the tone of how you say stuff, but and that they might be reacting to. It's also like sometimes things just shouldn't be said. Period. Like I just sometimes I just have thoughts that aren't really stellar. They're just not great. Like, why are you putting the piece of paper like that? Like, I don't just silly things. And it's like it just doesn't matter. So there's a, so much now that I just edit myself and I don't even say either because why? There's
Why?
no point to it. It's not gonna get me where I want to go.
Right. And at that point, you are becoming an elevator person also. We want to pick an elevator person. And by editing ourselves and using better tactics that are gentler, that come from a place of love, you become an elevator person for your partner, right? So it's this dance of picking someone who can be an elevator person for you, and they don't have red flags, but you also become an elevator person and work on our own red flags.
It's so true. I mean, yeah, we had a thing where something came up, and I thought it might have had to do with some of his childhood stuff. And so I very delicately phrased this to him. He was a little pushed back on it. Hearing it was a little hard, but he did take it to his therapist, and it unlocked, boom, so much stuff. So, like, having these conversations and everything is like super important. If we weren't doing this type of thing, we would not be progressing where we are now at all.
I love that.
Yeah.
And well, I feel profoundly grateful to have had the opportunity to work with you for two rounds and to watch you grow so much as a human through this process and to end up with the lid to your pot. I mean, yeah, this was remarkable. It's God, it's the universe. Whatever it takes, but it takes two to be remarkable. So if somebody's sitting on the fence going, I don't know, should I do the smart dating thing? Would you say, yeah, give it a shot?
Definitely. And, like I said, I did it twice. The second time, I just wasn't quite ready to take off the training wheels. I already knew you did teach me everything I did need to know, but I really liked having that was Eileen then, in my ear and helping me and making better choices. And I feel like even on the second time, the prospects were so much better than what poor Lindsay saw me picking and choosing, because I was growing. And yeah, I definitely do believe in the process. And anyone who's on the fence of working with Bella, definitely do it. Your results will be phenomenal.
Sherry, I am so happy and like a little, I'm teary and goosebumped right now for the fact that you have found the lid to your pot, and the lid and the pot need a little bit of refitting every now and then. And but that's relationships in general. So I couldn't be happier for you. And thank you so much for coming on the show with so much authenticity, courage about your story and where you were, and yeah, where you are now. And I love that for you. And I know your love is going to last for another 60 years.
Thank you. Yes, we are together forever. We're definitely partners. Like I said, there will be a commitment ceremony at some point in time.
Yay.
I know. So yeah, stay tuned. But we're just really enjoying this time. And now he has grandkids, which I adopt as my own, and it's just fun doing this, the life with, now our families are fully involved, and it's great.
Interdependence. I love
Interdependence.
interdependence. So, smart daters, I hope that you are inspired and feeling a little bit of psychotic optimism about your own dating life, because 7 short years ago, Sherry was just like you, wondering, oh my God, how am I going to navigate through all of this and through some trials and tribulations and resilience and bravery and courage and a hell of a lot of work. Here you are, and love came to Sherry, and love will also come to you. So, with that, I bid you farewell. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope you are as inspired as I am. And if you are, drop us a note at smartdatingacademy.com. And for those of you that feel inspired, write us a note in the ratings. Give us a 5-star. Share this episode with someone that needs to hear it. We are the little engine that could at Smart Dating Academy. So we appreciate all of you. Sherry, thank you again. Big hugs to you. And I can't wait to meet Dave someday when you guys come through Chicago.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bella.
Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.